September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining.
About you, but I like that song. It's a good reminder. Hope does live on. The world, it doesn't have any hope. It has no hope. It has no joy. But we certainly have hope in Christ, and that's the only place our hope is in. Well, good evening. It's called Hope is Alive, and I think we have Chris on the line. So, Chris, I'll just turn it right over to you. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. And, you know, you walk through the malls these days or shopping centers and you look at these people and there's a heaviness on them.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have the hope.
They don't. You know, Pastor used to talk about that. He loved to sometimes, especially down in Fort Collins, when it's nice weather, maybe, you know, sit out at a little cafe or something after church on Sunday after a lunch and just watch people. And you can do it anywhere, whether it's a mall or just about anywhere. And people are walking around, they're oppressed, they're depressed, they're certainly not smiling. They are just, it's this heaviness. It is not the abundant joy and the abundant life that I think, that I know Jesus Christ brings for us.
Liberty, the liberty of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right, Pastor Cox?
That is affirmative. I've often thought the same thing when I walk in a mall and I look at the people's faces and so many of them have a heaviness. You can look into their eyes and you can see in their eyes that their spirit man is calling out, somebody save me.
Well, people are attacked now financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, and you know, from the food and everything else that's going on in the world, we're hit in every ways.
Yes. And, of course, we are the targets as far as the demonic goes. Once you're born again, then you're a real target. But the same token, we have the power, according to Luke 10:19, to deal with the demonic and to counterattack and blow them on away. That's the good news from the cross.
Have you ever dealt with these preachers that tell you get saved and life's going to be a bowl of cherries from now on?
So I wish. But still, we have the joy, the peace, the happiness, the vigor, and the zeal that comes by being in His service. And I just praise God somebody shared with me. I could have missed all this.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is that these preachers do tell people that you're saved now, everything's going to be good. You know, God is your provider for everything. And then when things go wrong, they start doubting their salvation. They start doubting the Word, and they start doubting Christ.
Yes, they don't have the instruction that about the enemy and that he is there to steal, kill, and destroy. And they have no idea about the war and who they are in it and that we have the big guns to counter it. It's sadly lacking overall in the body of Christ.
Well, one of the scriptures I think I've read recently, but Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. So that There's something about delivering people that represents the kingdom of God. And then in 12:29 he says, or else how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he bind first the strong man, then he will spoil his house. And I think a lot of what your ministry represents is spoiling the house of Satan, and his house is taking over a lot of, is in a lot of our people.
Yes, yes, that's so true. And there's no way we can be passive and live life abundant.
Especially if you say that, you know, the average Christian probably walk around with 36 spirits or demons. What a burden that is.
So true, and they don't understand it. The most people, most Christians, they have these problem areas that keep reoccurring and tormenting, harassing, the overboard kind of problems, and they just think it's flesh and blood, and they just cope. They live with it a lot. No one's told them that they can get victory over that. That so many times those kinds of problems, where they are overboard like that, turn out to be the names of actual spirits that can be cast out, as Jesus commanded believers to do in Mark 16:17. And once you get hold of that, you start getting victory. It's somewhat involved, but it's not that hard to get a handle on it and learn who we are. And that's why I formed Deliverance Ministries in 1984. Was after I learned that the value of this and realized that the demons are tormenting Christians all over the place, and then saw the reality of them getting set free, realized that this was the truth, and I wondered, well, why isn't everybody doing this? And here I am 38 years later, and I'm still wondering it, because the bulk of the body of Christ doesn't seem to have any understanding that they're in this spiritual war. And they have no idea that they've been given what they need from the cross if they'll just use it. We have the power, but we have to use it, and we have to figure out where the targets are.
Well, I'd like to encourage people out there, Christians that are walking the walk, and you think there might be something out there or something within your home or within your family or within your generations that's hindering you from being the Christian you know you can be, or the Christian you desire to be, to go to deliveranceusa.com. There's a lot of information on there that'll start opening the doors for you to look at what deliverance is and demonic deliverance. And look at the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that's available from the ministry here. There's a lot of self-help tools there on the website. And this can start you on a path of walking in the liberty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and can set you free from bondages that may have been with you all of your life. I love the lady that we had a few weeks back that said she was in bondage for 60 years, and in one evening she was set free, and she was glorifying God because she was walking in a walk she'd never been able to walk in before.
Yes, so true. So true, and it's sad, but that's why we formed Deliverance Ministries again, is to tell it. And to form teams, I realized quite quickly, I was doing a ministry like this once I got into it almost every evening, helping people get free, but I couldn't do it all myself, and so that's why I formed the ministry with the idea to train others with what I'd learned, and we'd pick one night a week, which is Monday night, and that way with the trained ministers, I do a teaching and go through the door-closing prayer that prepares the people for ministry, and then I'd place a minister with them, and we would spread out for one-on-one ministry. We did 15 cases this last Monday. We had 19 trained ministers there, and we spread out over this church we rent here in Oklahoma City on Monday evenings, and it was a wonderful evening. It was exciting. And of course, the ministers, I always find it exciting at the end of the evening. The ministers are totally pumped and smiling, but more important, the people that were ministered to. We had some pretty difficult cases Monday night. One of them was even a satanic ritual case, Oh my goodness, the woman looked wonderful. She looked really like she was under a heaviness during the teaching part and depressed, counted down. And when I saw her at the end of the ministry, the lady that worked with her, when they came out of the room they were in, my goodness, this woman, I hardly recognized her. She was overflowing and smiling, and that's so typical, though, of every person that comes and gets this kind of ministry. It's what I call a Jesus overhaul.
Jesus said his burden is light, and it amazes me how many times you've had people say when they leave, I feel lighter.
Yes, yes, and the case I had, I always take one case myself, and I was able to get the head demon up where I could interrogate it directly as a prisoner of war, and the head demon was despair. It had an executive officer of fear, and this man, when I first asked him, when we sat down and I started interviewing him, and I said, what is it you want to accomplish? And he pulls his long sleeve shirt back, and here's these scars on his arm where he'd been cutting himself. And he said, well, I want to see this gone. And then there was other problems that he had. He had a lot of stress, anxiety, and many spirits. Actually, there was only a total of 15 there, which is a little unusual. Most people usually have about three dozen. But, gosh, he got wonderful ministry. And, yes, I even got hold of the demon and admitted it had been causing him. It was on assignment, and it was there to cause him to cut his arm. And it was wonderful to take him through the ministry. They even pointed out the angels that were circled around us and pointed to the one that looked the meanest. Of course, I assigned that angel to punish it directly if I caught it lying, which I did. I caught it lying at one point. Of course, when they say something, you've got to say back, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And the demon said no, so I caught it lying, and I had that angel come in and jab it three hard times to punish it, and this man jerks three hard times in the chair. I had a couple of people sitting in with me, and their eyes got kind of big at that point. But it was great ministry, and of course, at the end, I cast out all the evil spirits, and then even received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. Well, he was totally pumped. And I haven't had a chance to follow up with him yet. I'll do that in the next day or two. And I usually call him within the week and see how their life has changed. And, of course, it's the testimonies that drive us on. If we heard it didn't work, we quit doing it. But it does work. And all Christians can do it. I don't have any special gift in this. I'm a normal, spirit-filled Christian. And if you're born again, you can do this kind of ministry and set people free around you. And in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, and what we've learned in there over these years, this 38 years I've been doing it, we've done the Monday night meetings 32 years, but by what we've learned over the years, it's like anything, if you keep doing it, you ought to get better. I put those steps and the model of ministry we use in the book that people can follow and learn how to do this.
Well, that's the thing with the book that I was really impressed with. I've been in deliverance sessions dating back, 15 years. And if you're in there with someone that has the gift of discernment, it's a lot easier. That you seem to have eliminated the need for that gift by walking through step by step ABC 1-2-3 and covering all the areas, or at least the major areas, that a person might be battling, and giving them the tools they need to set people free. Now, I believe certainly while you're in that deliverance session, you may not have the gift of discernment all the time, but there is a discernment that comes to the ministers so that they may know to say something or bring up something or know which direction to go. I'm sure the Holy Spirit is leading, but just any newborn Christian that has the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed them and been cleansed and baptized in His name can pick up this book and be setting Satan on edge tomorrow afternoon.
That's right. That's our Jesus. He's in the overhaul business.
Well, that you want to go over the scripture, Luke 10:19, why you've got power to tell a demon what to do?
Absolutely, and I suggest every minister, well, not just ministers, but the body of Christ, Christians, memorize that Luke 10:19 and speak it out loud. When you speak it, it performs itself, and that's the scripture that tells us in the name of Jesus that we have power over all the enemy, and then there's a promise right behind that that nothing shall by any means harm us. So
Amen.
When you speak that out, it performs itself.
We have Susie on the line. Susie, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Oh, we're well. I'm going to let Mr. Cox do an interview with you. It's a pleasure to have you tonight.
Thank you.
Well, hi, Susie. I'm so glad.
Hi, Everett. How are you?
I am blessed, and I know you are, too.
Yes.
I'm tickled you called in, and I ask you to kind of share, if you would, how you first learned about this works of Jesus called deliverance, and how you saw the reality of it and experiences that you might have had. So just go ahead and share.
I guess, if I want to really cover it, and I heard what you all were saying before, and when you were citing Luke 10:19, I have known that and was taught that as a young child. And so I was not unaware. And I was saved at about age 8. Recently, Jesus said, we all know suffering, and suffering I have known. And during the course of this year, particularly, I lost my 15-year-old son in a tragic car wreck. And I was, I attended Bible study with Kathy Jo Wicks, who's here in the city, and she pretty much walked with me side by side. And didn't really every evening. She was in my home. Anyway, that's how I came to know Everett and about his ministry. She was talking about it, and not even in context to me. She was sharing more about Everett's experience of losing a child as well. And some people she knew, and I said, well, what is this? Where is this? And she told me, and I have been, it's been about 7 months now, and I have been so hungry, and I'm sure Everett, you can relate to anything whatsoever of a spiritual nature. It seems to be the only place that I find it's my pain relief, it's my strength through this time. And so I said, well, I'm going. And so I called down there. I looked at the website. It was a little unclear, and maybe called down there and came down, and my sisters came with me. And my experience at the time was, for me personally, was that the minister that was working with me was wanting, I guess when she heard my story, she just wanted to kind of focus on the grief. And so I said, I want to do the whole deal. I mean, I'm here. I had a real sense of, I wouldn't say urgency, I would say determination would be the right word, a real sense of determination to experience the ministry, to be ministered to. When you're hurting, you want to be ministered to. You crave it, and ultimately, every person is going to find themselves in a situation that is just bigger than they are. Therein the answer lies. But my experience was nothing, hugely dramatic by any means. And I wouldn't say it was life-altering in any means. I felt like it is exactly what Jesus taught us to do. And I've told several people to go to the ministry that I've come across. I mean, and I don't want to use the term housekeeping because I don't want to make light of it, but I think it's a spiritual practice that Christ followers should emulate. and it gets missed. And how it gets missed when it's so thick around us in the world is also part of the warfare. So I think it is an incredible ministry. I would recommend it to anyone. And I had a fantastic experience there. And I love to, let me mention this, like the materials. I use several of the materials in my daily prayer life. Those have really blessed me.
Well, Susie, when you were ministered to, did you feel anything going on as spirits departed? What was your experience there?
Well, the two women that were ministering for me did. Okay, I was just awash with tears. And it was a couple of hours. I mean, it was just like, you know, water running out of my eyes. I did have something like in my ear that felt funny. And I think there was somewhere in my body, and I don't remember exactly where it was. So they ministered to that. I did yawn a lot. I don't really remember the burping. I know you said you could expect that. I did a lot of yawning, which, you know, abnormal, I would call definitely abnormal. I felt very, very safe. Let me put it that way. It wasn't any place that I felt afraid or unsafe. I loved the beginning of it where you spoke, Everett, and then the, I don't know what you called that prayer, maybe the door, something to do with the doors. That is a beautiful
door closing.
Yes, I loved that. And then I thought the ministry was beautiful. Like I said, I did do a lot of yawning. I remember them placing the Bible a couple of places. I was just trying to just kind of just be in worship and be open and let them minister was my position. So I wasn't like really trying to be real observant. Does that make sense?
Sure. And of course, yawning, we see that a lot. That's probably the most common that what people experience is these spirits come out. And most people will wind up unloading around 36. Would you say it was in that range with you?
I can't speak to that because I wasn't, you know, I know that I went on a lighter note. I went through your checklist and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to check every box here. But anyways, I think a big key of it is, you know, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I think a big component of it is being willing, you know, and having faith. And I absolutely have faith. I mean, you know, this is what Jesus says to do.
And, of course, you met the prerequisite of reaching out. God will not go against self-will. The person has to want to change, we found. And the majority of people that come, of course, have got problems and they're hurting for, and in your case, of course, that trauma that you went through. They're reaching out for help. And our Jesus is in the overhaul business. And who doesn't need an overhaul? Life is tough at times.
It is. And you know, sometimes I feel like people search everywhere. And really, it's pretty simple. I mean, deliverance is a pretty simple process. I mean, and it's what He told us to do. I mean, you could spend a lifetime searching. You can go about it the long road, or you can take the short road. It's kind of how I look at it. And I'll tell you one thing I have experienced since I was there is I am more aware of being, as a Christian, being conscientious of what the spirits around me, being very conscious in my prayer life about it. That is a definite shift for me. Definitely a shift.
And some of your families come for ministry as well. Have you seen changes with them?
Yes, I have. I've seen a lot of changes in my family. And then my son came, and it was very powerful for him, very powerful. And particularly he's struggled with addiction for a long time. And I think that was powerful. I think from what he told me was the part where at the end was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That was nothing he had experienced before. I mean, he had, obviously accepted Christ and was a believer, but he had not experienced that. And that opened, a whole new window into his spiritual life. It opened a whole new rock of faith for him, a place to stand. So I've seen a lot of change in him, a lot.
Praise God. And of course, as we've learned, the more we, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, the more we speak in tongues, the more we get edified, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, and we're praying to God what needs to be prayed. And I've even had demons tell me how when we pray in tongues, it hurts us. And so it's another good reason.
Then we know it's
to
good.
Pray in tongues.
Right?
If we know it hurts them, we want to pray in tongues a lot. Amen?
Amen.
I try to pray in the spirit or the tongues every day just for that very reason, to keep the enemy at bay, because we're in the war zone, and until we go to heaven, there's no way out of being right here in the war. But as we use the tools we have from the cross, praise God, we can prevail and really live life abundant that Jesus meant for us to have in John 10:10. And that's a better deal than having to be under that attack all the time.
Yes, being under the attack, I mean, it's no joke. I mean, he comes to kill and he comes to destroy. And I'm sure most people can see that. It's everywhere in the world. He's sneaky. He's conniving. Any little thing where he will twist any truth, like you just spoke of. And I agree with you. It says he will give us groans and utterances. And somewhere in Romans, Paul speaks of in your prayer life.
Yes.
And I believe that
Romans
when you are praying that prayer, you're praying the will of God. And anytime you're praying the will of God, that is really what it's all about, because he's got a lot better things in mind for us than what we could ever dream.
Amen. Well, Susie, as you've gone through this and learned about it so far, have you thought about going through our training and learning how to be a minister yourself?
I've thought a little bit about it. I have other groups that I feel so blessed to be a part of that do training in the gifts, that do that kind of ministry. But I am more keenly aware when I am praying for somebody, and as I learn to call it out, when I sense that it is, not of God. And it's pretty easy to sense. It's not like you need, some magical set of glasses or some huge gifting. I mean, it's pretty easy to know, okay, if you know, obviously, the Word, what is of God and what is not. And when you call that which is not of Him out, that in prayer, that's a deliverance prayer for a person. And Jesus came to set the captives free.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm always trying to gather up more members of the Army. We usually around 15 different people each Monday evening. My goal and the way the Lord is leading me, there isn't any reason why we can't do double that every Monday night. We just need more ministers. I know the Lord will send them in to us. Since the need is so huge. And always working on trying to gather recruits.
I think it's great. And, I found, too, since my son Will passed,
I started it's called WCH, and it's a Bible study for his friend. Okay, his friend, although they've been saved, not all of them, but some of them, they had no clue about this. And to me, as a teenager growing up in this world, how terrifying. I mean,
oh my goodness.
I had a big, husky, you know, 15-year-old boy sitting on my couch saying, I'm terrified in my bedroom. And having no idea what to do about it. I mean, it's just, I mean, people need to be equipped.
He was seeing things, wasn't he?
Well, he was just afraid. He was terrified in his bedroom. And actually, it's another person that leads the Bible study, because I'm not a teacher, but she teaches them and leads them, and she told them, you know, the prayer to pray and how to cast that out and how to anoint his room and the prayer to say as he did that. And he went home. He immediately did it because he's been so afraid. He immediately did it, and his fear is gone. Now,
hallelujah.
That's freedom. I mean, you don't, as Christians, it's not that we have power, we have authority.
Yes.
There's a difference. And we have the authority, and we have the authority over all that. We don't have to live like that.
That's right.
We don't have to. Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine, Susie, how many more are out there just like your son that will never get any ministry or any teaching along these lines?
Oh, you mean my son that has struggled with addiction? Well, I mean, believe. I mean, alcoholism, addiction. I mean, now sex addiction. I mean, it's growing at such an exponential rate that... I mean, it's almost like everything is, the motion of it and the speed of it has increased so much. And I truly believe that deliverance, I believe addiction is a spirit.
Absolutely,
there's no question about it. And I believe there's deliverance from that.
Yes, so many
times. And I think
that's
too why AA has so much success. Is because, you know, everything out of that program is directly derived from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, you know, it does. But, I mean, it is a powerful thing. And, Everett, I just want to thank you. I mean, you are doing a phenomenal job. And how many years now?
Well, 38 years. And the ministry and,
wow.
You know, the Monday night meetings, 32 years.
Unbelievable. I mean,
it doesn't seem like we do that many, but it adds up. I think we did 716 cases last year.
That's amazing. That is amazing work.
Well,
that
Susie, I really appreciate
and people,
you.
I'll tell you, where else are you going to go? Okay, you can't really find anywhere else to go for deliverance ministry unless, I mean, you're working with somebody one-on-one and they pray deliverance for you, which is great. Ditto for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Where are you going to go get that?
Yes. Yes.
Most.
Well, I was 8
there's,
44
there's a real need
before.
For what you're doing.
One of the problems, Susie, is I think that the world has taken the things that the Lord has given us, like deliverance and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues and the gift of healing, and they've made them into cartoon shows on Sunday morning, and they've made them into things that are laughable, and the Satan has purposefully done that so that people avoid it because they say, I don't want part of that silliness, not knowing how wonderful the true thing is. And that what they're experiencing and what they're seeing on television and everywhere else, a lot of it is just the counterfeit.
Oh, right.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with what really happens. It has nothing to do with the peace that you feel. I mean, none of it speaks truth. But yet,
right.
You're right. They're turned off, and so they explore no further. And then, you know, check another one off for the dark side, and it doesn't have to be like that.
Well, Susie,
I mean,
want to thank you for being on.
The greatest power in the universe is love. and God is love. And once people get a taste of it, they want more. You know, it's just breaking through the barricades, like you said, of the world that are so thick right now.
Amen.
Well, Susie, our next caller's on the line. Thank you for calling in. You've been a blessing. We'll keep you in our prayers, and you pray for us, too.
Thank you,
Susie. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Blessings.
Hello, Nikki. Are you there?
I'm here.
Amen.
Hi,
thank
Nikki.
You.
Hi, how are you?
Glad you called in. Well, I'm blessed. How's everything in Wyoming?
Well, it snowed the first day I got here, but it kind of warmed up today, so we're good.
Well, you know, it's been cool down here in Oklahoma. Actually, I had to wear a jacket yesterday morning. It's kind of unusual for this time of the year, so I can imagine in Wyoming it would be even colder.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of snow still on the mountains.
If you wouldn't mind sharing, Nikki, on how you first learned about deliverance, this works of Jesus, and the reality of it, and any experiences that you might have had to share.
Okay. I tend to be kind of detailed, so if I get long-winded, just interrupt me, but I'll try to sum it up. I grew up in a very religious household, going to a church that kind of taught us if it wasn't written by someone in our church, or, you know, if it wasn't taught in our church, to stay away from it. And I did that for 35, 38 years, and then we actually ended up getting this job here in Wyoming, which the job we do here, last year we had 94,000 spectators come through our gates, and we're in charge of it all. So me growing up as a people pleaser and needing the approval of everyone around me, because I'd been in church, I loved Jesus, but I didn't know my worth, or there was something, so much shame and guilt, I know now is what it was, that just followed me around. Well, you can't please 10 people all the time, let alone 90,000. So after our first year, it had just taken its toll on me. I was like, I can't do this, and it's a great job. And so I prayed, you know, the normal prayer, Jesus, please help me, help me. And I heard a sermon, I don't even know, it was accidentally on the radio, and the guy said, we're all begging Jesus to help us, to help us, and he's already done what he came to do. He's not coming back to die for us again. He's already saved us from our sins. He's already given us all authority, basically Luke 10:19, which you preach all the time, Everett. And it hit me. I was like, what does that mean? Because I did those typical prayers. Jesus, help me. Help me not to get my feelings hurt, or help me to be able... And so I kind of took a step back, and I was like, all right, God, well, if you're really real, more than, you know, sitting on a church pew and singing some hymns on Sunday morning and, you know, trying to manage everything that you get passed on to you, then I want to find it. I want to. And so slowly, one time, the next time I was in the Mardell's bookstore, which I would just go in there for school supplies for my daughters, I never really went to look at the books because, like I said, I'd been taught to stay away from everything. But there was this one book, and it just caught my eye. And so I picked it up and started looking at it, and it was about deliverance. And I bought it, you know, because this is how the Lord slowly brought me out of the blinders being taken off of my eyes. And I read that book, which is very close to yours, Ever. I read that book in about 3 days, and it clicked inside of me that clearly, you know, I love Jesus. I've been, you know, tried to be as faithful as I could to what our, you know, our church had taught us, but there was something missing. And so, you know, naive to the whole process, the guy that owned the, you know, that wrote the book had some DVDs that you could buy this DVD and do a deliverance in your living room. You know, he had a door closing prayer and everything. So I ordered it for my family. And I explained everything, and bless my husband. I mean, he did not grow up religious, but he does love Jesus, and he trusts me. So I said, if you haven't thought I'm crazy before, you're really going to after I tell you this story. But I told him and I explained it, and it made so much sense. So literally, in our living room, me, my husband, and my two girls, we went through the door closing prayer that was in this book, and we watched this DVD, and he says the same thing, you know, that you'll yawn and you'll experience freedom, and he addresses all this. And we all experienced all of that. And the peace that I felt just after that on a DVD was amazing. And it was, I know people say all the time, well, we felt lighter or we feel this. It was just, for the first time that I could ever remember, my mind was quiet, because there was always thoughts running through my mind and, you know, 10,000 directions, and it was just quiet. And we all kind of just looked at each other and laughed and, you know, we're like, okay, thank you, Jesus. But then the things that I noticed throughout the next days and weeks, you know, one of my little girls was scared to death of fire. We had had a truck burn down in our front yard, and the spirit of fear of fire came in her. We could not even light a candle in our house. That was gone. She was roasting marshmallows the next week, and I was like, wow. Something definitely changed. Great. In our lives. And she, even to the point where if it would get stormy outside, she knew that lightning, at 5 years old, she knew that lightning could start a fire, and she would freak out. So she got freedom from that, and just other little things. Well, then I was at my doctor up in Oklahoma City, and I don't know how we got on the subject. We were just chatting back and forth, and I said something about this book I had read, and she told me, she goes, well, there's a guy here in Oklahoma City that does it every Monday night. And I was like, what? You mean people go sit in a room and they, you know? And she said, yes, and then you get this one-on-one ministry and everything. So next thing I was doing was looking this up, and then I went and, you know, I brought my whole family. We went to Everett, we went to Deliverance Ministries, and then I went for about 6 months. I came to the training and everything, and, you know, I'm a firm believer that you get that initial freedom, but you have to stay on top of things, you know, because the devil's always searching for open doors and how he can come back. So we try to stay on top of it, and now, since then, I mean, the religious blinders have come off, and I just see the world as a completely different place than I did 12 years ago. And I remind the Lord all the time, I'm like, please don't ever let me lose that feeling that I had when I first realized what true freedom was. So you grow to learn exactly when you're out of peace, or when something's wrong in your household, or, you know, in your business, or something's not right, and you take authority of it and you get rid of it. We just have to know our authority, and I just love it. And I love Everett. He's helped me and my family and so many people so much. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell. You know, a really long story in a very short amount of time.
Wouldn't you say that the worst bondage is for someone to call themselves a Christian and still be in bondage?
You have no idea, yes. Because, like I said, I went to church, and I was active, and I loved Jesus. Jesus knew my heart, but it was nothing. It was like lukewarm, or even, you know, almost like, yeah, just going through the motions, until you really see what Jesus did for you, not just the salvation and I'll meet you in heaven, but learning how to live with authority down here. I mean, I could tell you a story that I did out at our rodeo. We run a rodeo here in Wyoming, and a guy's arm got healed. And if I wouldn't have known what I had learned from Everett, and, you know, I believe in healing, I believe in all this, but I would have prayed this prayer, Jesus, please help his arm get better, or this. But I had learned the tools from Everett and from books and from, you know, training that I'd gotten, how to ask the Lord. I mean, it's a great story. If we have time sometime, I'd be glad to tell you, because it's all due to me knowing my authority on that rodeo grounds, and his arm went back together. We saw it. We have X-rays.
Well, I'd love to hear it right now.
It's a great story.
Yeah, go ahead and share it, Nikki.
Are you sure? Okay.
Keep us on.
All right. Well,
yeah,
like I said, we run a rodeo, and I'll tell it fast because it's so good. I might choke up because every time I tell it, I love it. But we run a rodeo here in Wyoming, and it's 92 nights in a row. We start June 1st, and we go every day till August 31st. So it gets monotonous and tedious. But since I've learned about, you know, our authority in Jesus and blessing and taking authority over, you know, your houses and your job and everything, we take over the contract on May 15th, and it's ours until September 15th. So we've blessed the rodeo grounds. We have literally, you know, asked God to stand guard and taken authority over anything that had happened. So all that, we did all that. But we have this family that I'm very close to, and about a year before, God had really put it on my heart to tell the father, the dad, about deliverance and about him knowing his authority, because he's a bull rider and he had been injured so many times, and I believe the Holy Spirit told me that there was a spirit of injury on him. Well, I didn't do it. I kind of put it in the background. I put it, okay, I will, Lord, when the time is right, when the time is right. Well, in the meantime, he got metaflighted out of an arena up in Oregon with a spleen injury, very close to, could have lost his life. And I still didn't do it. So they were at our rodeo that night. They just brought some bulls for us to use in the rodeo, and his brother was there as well. Now, 5 days before that, his mother had been kicked in the head and killed on their property. So I believe the Lord was kind of showing that this spirit of death, premature death and stuff, had been passed on. But I still didn't say anything. I hadn't even seen him. Well, that night at the rodeo, his brother is about to go to the college national finals in an event, and he gets on a horse, and this is on our rodeo grounds that I have dedicated, and breaks his arm. And literally, it's the forearm, and my EMTs get him in there, and they get him all iced up and wrapped. And before that, the brother that I'm telling you, and both of these brothers, keep in mind, just lost their mom 5 or 7 days before this. And so one of his bulls was getting off the trailer, broke his leg, which that means, that's not a good thing either. So it was just all this stuff happening in this family. And when I saw that his arm was broken like that, something just came over me, and I'm like, that's it, that's it. This is my property right now. I have authority over this. So I go in the EMT room, and I made everybody leave except the two EMTs, his sister-in-law, and a lady that works for me. And this lady, I love her to death. She loves Jesus. She doesn't have a religious bone in her body, and she, she'll say a cuss word or two, but has the best heart. And I let her stay, and I just said, Caleb, can I pray for you? And he said, absolutely, yes, ma'am. And so I closed my eyes, and immediately the Holy Spirit said, you need to ask if there's anybody in this room that would stop this healing. And so I asked, and I looked at everybody, and I said, I'm going to ask this, and if anything comes to your mind, just excuse yourself from the room or whatever. Well, it was me. The Lord said, it's you. I've been telling you for over a year and a half to tell this family what was going on, and you haven't done it. And so I have to look at the wife. It's his sister-in-law, but she's married to the brother, and I have to look at her, and I have to repent for not telling them. And so she's crying. I'm crying. I don't even look around and see what the other people are doing, but I'm like, Lord, forgive me for not doing what you told me to do, a year ago. So I get that out, and keep in mind, his arm is wrapped in ice, probably at least 3 or 4 inches thick, and then some bandage over it. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to put my hands on your arm, and I'm going to pray. And so I asked again if there was anything to stop this. I had my hands on him, and I'm like, okay, then I just command in the name of Jesus that this bone be healed, and that Caleb, nothing will steal his chance to go to the college finals next week, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm in the middle of just praying this great prayer and speaking, telling the devil to get back, and he keeps trying to interrupt me, and he says, ma'am, Nikki, and I said, what, Caleb? And he said, could you take your hands off of my arm because it's burning up? And he's got it wrapped in ice. So I was like, wow, we all kind of look at each other. And he goes, something's happening with my arm. And I said, well, listen, I want you to, the hospital's just 6 blocks away. So I said, I want you to go down to the hospital. I want you to get the x-rays. But I am expecting a call from you later tonight that this is healed. And so he said, yes, ma'am, and they go on. And well, I walk out of the room. And, remember I told you about the lady that works for me, and she's probably about 6'4", rough around the edges, but I just love this lady. And she came out, and she just whispered over to me, and she leaned down, and excuse my language, but you guys are going to laugh. And she said, I believe God was in that room. And I said, so do I. And she goes, I'm telling you. She goes, I got lightheaded as hell. And I just laughed. I was like, I think he was too. But long story, probably about an hour and 15 minutes later, Caleb called, and he had a bruised bone. And that was it, and he didn't have to take any days off. And you can look at my two EMTs, and they will tell you, it was like almost an L. The bone was broken completely, and God put it back together. And I was like, if I wouldn't have known... you know, how to get myself right and, you know, ask the Lord what would stop, you know, his will being done, which his will would definitely be no broken bones on this earth, I don't believe that would have happened. And we've got other little stories like that too, but it was just a matter of me. I could have stayed where I was in my religious bondage and, you know, still loving Jesus, still going to heaven, but the richness of our lives and of the people that are around us, they will just look at you and just say, I can't even believe. I can't even believe that all this is out there and people don't know about it.
He gave us life abundant.
Yes.
Exactly.
And Nikki, you were doing the works of Jesus that he told you to do. Remember that, was it John 14:12, where Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. He gave us the power of attorney to speak in his name directly to these situations, and you did it. And the power of the Holy Spirit went forth, healing. Hallelujah. I got tears in my eyes listening to that. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, but I have to attribute it all back to that if God hadn't have led me to the deliverance part of my Christian walk and, you know, of loving Jesus, I don't believe I would have ever gotten rid of the, you know, spirit of religion and the religious binders and gotten rid of the shame and the guilt that just kept coming back. And, you know, even I'd had inner healing, you guys. I knew what it was like for Jesus to heal wounds, but then something would come back. And if the spirits are still there, and they still have access to you, I believe they can bring up the old wounds. So I just believe this is a key part of Christian, of what Jesus came to do.
Yes. When you had ministry, Nikki, could you tell evil spirits were coming out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I yawned so bad I had tears coming down my face, and not just one time. I mean, you know, you start going through life and you get bogged down, and you know, I've gone a few times, you know, you've seen me periodically, you know, over the last so many years, because I know what it's like, and you can figure out, well, wow, Satan had access to me somewhere else. I might have been worrying about, you know, how to pay some bills or this or that, and that leads to one and then another and then another. I could tell. I could tell tangible physical effects, and then I could tell in the way that I felt.
Well, and
well, Nikki, let me ask you, we've got a lot of listeners in Wyoming. Where is your rodeo, if you don't mind saying?
Cody, Wyoming. We actually were the producers of the Cody Night Rodeo. It's the longest running nightly rodeo in the United States, for sure.
Well, good.
So yeah, we would love to have people. And I'm telling you, I'm there every night. Just come and ask anybody where Nikki is, and I would love to visit with you.
We'll send them there for prayer, won't we, Everett?
Well, amen.
Well, come on. I mean, I can use it too, so...
Rodeo.
Yeah,
and
I had a letter probably about 3 years ago about people complaining that we said a prayer before the rodeo, and I just answered politely back as like, as long as we're running it, we will.
Amen.
You know, in Jesus' name,
amen.
we will bless it
amen.
Before we start. So, I would love to see
Nikki,
anybody that wants to come by.
Nikki, when I was a chief wrangler at a dude ranch in Breckenridge, Colorado, I went up to the Frontier Days. That's not the same rodeo, is it?
No, that's in Cheyenne. And
Cheyenne.
That's in Cheyenne. The third week of July, I think. It's different, but it's still, Wyoming has three great rodeos, so it's a good western state.
Rodeo country.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, I used to rodeo calf rope myself. I had a quarter horse and a trailer.
Are you kidding? That's what my husband did. I was a city girl that married a cowboy.
Well, Nikki, is there anything you'd like to say before you leave, before we end the program?
No, I just, you know, anybody out there that's listening and is, you know, having this battle in their mind, I just want to let them know that a lot of us have gone through that battle. And if you'll just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Jesus wants to set all of us free and heal us.
Amen.
And, you know, give us victory in our lives. I don't believe God's coming back for a defeated people. I believe Jesus is coming
Amen.
Back for people that have that know their authority and a victorious people. So I want to spread the word as much as I can. So anytime I get the chance now, or if God tells me to tell somebody something, I do it. I just might preface it, you know. I just believe that, you know. But I don't keep my mouth shut anymore.
Amen. Well, thank you, Nikki.
Praise
and
God.
Blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can find out more about this ministry at deliveranceusa.com. There's a lot of self-help tools there. Or you can call the ministry office or call the telephone number on deliveranceusa.com. Blessings and good night, everybody.
Thank you, Nikki.
A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. Darkness.